We are going to start our journey in the Gospel of Matthew. So for those of you that have your Bibles, go ahead and turn. We're going to start in the first chapter. I'll try to make it as painless as possible. So the journey that we're going to start taking in the youth is that we're going to start going through verse by verse, book by book, kind of how they do things over in the main church. So as you guys mature and get older, when you graduate high school, you'll be able to transition right in. So that is our goal for you over here, to train you up and get you ready. And so we'll start with prayer. We have some kids that weren't able to make it today. Their parents are coming in from out of town. And I know Gil and them are doing a men's retreat, so they're out. So a bunch of the boys are with them. So we'll pray for them today, and then we'll get into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful and so thankful to be able to come and to study Your Word freely. We have so many blessings, and we are just so amazed that we can freely study. And we pray, Lord, today that You will speak to our hearts. We pray that You will fill us with Your Spirit. And we pray for the youth that couldn't be here today, Lord. We pray for guidance for them. We pray for comfort. We pray that You'll keep them safe as they travel and as they're out in the world, Lord. We just pray that You will just shine upon us, that we may be the light in this lost world. We praise You, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so our title will be The Introduction to Matthew. How many of you have read through the book of Matthew before? So you guys read through? All right. So today we'll end up doing the genealogy of Jesus. And although there's 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, it's going to take us several months to get through this. We're going to spend time. Gary's going to teach, and Brent's going to teach. And we're going to go through systematically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, just like they do at the in the main church. And so I encourage you, if you guys aren't here on Sundays, it's going to be recorded and put on. I don't know if you guys are aware that we do have a Riot Youth website. And did you guys know that those messages are recorded and put on there? You guys know that? So if you're not here on a Wednesday night, because I know we got school, we got baseball, and we got a bunch of sports happening. If you're not here, I would encourage you to get on the website and listen throughout the week. Spend some time in the Word, and those will be available for you. And then on Sunday, I would encourage you, if you guys aren't able to make it, because you're on vacation or sports, whatever, tune through, to that study throughout the week, because that'll keep you going as we go through. So, I wasn't able, because I taught Wednesday, so I listened to Pastor Tony's message Thursday while I was driving out to Springerville. So that was kind of nice to be able to have that available, so I was still able to get fed. So Matthew really is the most orderly account of the good news, right? We call it the good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. All right, perhaps his training as a tax collector gave him an organized presentation. He was really organized in how he displayed things. And the Gospel of Matthew was written primarily towards or for a Jewish audience. All right, he had a lot of knowledge, and he really wrote towards a Jewish audience. And he's contained in the Gospel of Matthew really contains more Old Testament quotes than any of the other Gospels. All right, I'm going to go into why that was and why he kept referring back to the Old Testament so much. But we're going to see a lot through the book of Matthew. He's going to say that it might be fulfilled. All right, he's going to keep referencing that over and over. And the reason why is the Jews of Jesus' day, they had three levels of education. All right, you guys go to school, you start out kindergarten, grade school, you get up to elementary school, then you go to junior high school, and then you go to high school. Well, in Jesus' day, most of the Jewish children, they started at the age of around 6, and they went to the age of around 12. How cool would that be, right? At 12 years old, you're like, hey, we're done with school. We're good. Now you go learn the family business, and then you go work the rest of your life. All right, you work in the family business. So from the age of 6 to 12, they entered an education program, and it was called the Bet Sefer level. All right, and what they would do in that education process, they learned how to read and write. And do you know what their main textbook was? How they learned how to read and write. Anyone have an idea? What? The Old Testament. The Old Testament, right? The Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They studied the first five books of the Bible, and they committed it to memory. Could you imagine by the age of 12, knowing the first five books, chapter and verse, the whole entire thing? Could you imagine that? Is that pretty crazy or what? I mean, I have a hard time just memorizing a few verses in my entire lifetime, and I'm 41. And by the age of 12, most of them knew more verses and Bible doctrine than I knew. Than I know today at 41. All right? So they would also go through from the age of 12, actually from 13 to 15, they continued their study, and the next level was called the Bet Midrash. So they would go from 13 to 15, and then they would study the rest of the Bible. And they would go through and they would take that to memory, and they would start really memorizing that. And then that had to be somebody, they would be chosen. That was like the best of the best. That was the kids that were really the best at what they could do, and they would be chosen. They would keep their education going on. And then they would continue and study the entire Tanakh, which is the whole Old Testament. And then very few were selected for that. And then they had another level, which went on from age 15 to 30. All right? And that level was a Bet Talmud, which was the longest. And you had to be chosen by a rabbi for that. You would be chosen from a rabbi, and they would teach you, and it would be kind of like a pastor of a church taking a disciple here, or maybe a youth or something, and raising them up and teaching them step by step the Bible, going through. Kind of like what we're going to do now. We're going to go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So we can raise you guys up so you have a great education as you get older and you get over into the adult ministry. So I'm just giving you some educational information so you could understand the knowledge that Matthew had. All right, they said he was very knowledgeable about the Bible, that he would memorize, or that he did memorize the Bible by root memory. All right? That way, as you guys read through, you can start painting a picture, and you'll start saying, man, that makes sense. We're going to relate in Matthew to a lot of Old Testament scriptures. We're going to go through Isaiah. He's going to reference Micah. He's going to reference 2 Samuel. There's things that we're going to see, and you're going to start saying, oh, that makes perfect sense. So as Matthew took these verses and really took them to memory, his knowledge of the Old Testament really was unsurpassed. All right, the general idea of the book of Matthew's gospel record is to establish really on behalf of the Hebrews that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Messiah that the Old Testament talks about. I don't know how many of you are familiar with, have you read a lot of the prophets? Isaiah, have you guys read into a lot of the Old Testament scriptures at all? Some of you have. Nick, you shaking your head yes? Kinda? Okay. So he's really, as we'll go through the genealogy, he's really pointing out how and why Jesus is the Messiah to this Jewish audience. All right? It says about approximately 60 times he's going to reference the Old Testament through his Gospels. He cites, we'll go through today in Matthew 1:23. We're going to go through and he's going to cite Isaiah 7:14. And he starts out right in his introduction here. He starts quoting out old scriptures. So as we go through Matthew and the genealogy, you guys, I want you to raise your hand. As we start reading through, we're going to go through the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph, who adopted him, right? His adopted father. So as we go through, I want you to raise your hands. If you hear these names, you're like, oh, I remember that name. I've heard that. I've read that. So I want you, just as we go, because sometimes we get sidetracked and we think, man, this is really boring, right? The book of Matthew, when I was kind of your age, it was boring to me. I'm not going to lie. I was like, man, I didn't understand it. It was kind of at the point where I was like, I really didn't understand why I needed to know this until I got a little bit older and a little bit more mature and I started going to church regularly. I was like, oh, now it's starting to make sense. Now I understand why he gave this genealogy. So hopefully as we learn, you guys will not be bored. And the more we study, we become familiar with these names. So the more we study the New Testament and the more we study the Old Testament, it's going to correlate and you're going to be like, oh, I totally remember that. I remember when my goofy youth, pastor or my goofy youth leader was up there teaching about this, and it'll start coming to knowledge there. So the more we study and read, we'll get more familiar with names and places and events, and that's what's so important about why we're going to start going through this verse by verse and chapter by chapter. On Wednesday, Tony, I don't know if you guys, do you guys ever listen to the messages from Tony or from anyone else during the week? Okay, because on Wednesday, he gave a really good account of the Gospels. They're in the Gospel of John right now, and he was in chapter 20. And he gave a really good account of why the Gospels are so different, right? They're similar in nature because they talk about Jesus, the birth, you know, right? The birth of Jesus, and through his life, through his teaching, the death and the resurrection. But what happens is he went into a little bit more detail, and I got, I really like how he explained it. He explained that some give more detail than others, some give more scripture references, some give more details and places, and that the reason why they're common in nature, but they really were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when I was a kid growing up, I was like, man, I already read the Gospel. I read the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading the Gospel of John or Luke or whatever. And I'm going, man, it's the same thing to me. At your age, it's the same thing. But what he was really trying to get a point is that there was four different people there. And what happens is he gave a great example of in a court of law, right? In a court of law, all the witnesses don't have the exact same story, right? Have you guys seen those shows on TV? If everyone gives the exact same story, they call that collusion, right? They were coached. And if you hear the same story, you're less likely to believe that, right? Oh, man, that's the exact same thing she said or he said. So you're less likely to believe the truth. That's why each gospel is a little bit different. They give a little bit different, they bring out more people, different places, different names that one might not have, wasn't important to them. So they teach it a little bit different. So there's four different viewpoints because they're really talking to different audiences when they're writing this. But it's all still inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that was a really good example. If you guys get a chance, I'd listen to Tony's messages during the week in the book of John. So Matthew's really writing to the Jewish audience, and he's trying to present Jesus Christ as the Messiah who has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. He's really trying to say, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. And when we read this, you guys will hopefully start seeing this picture. Excuse me, sorry, I'm still kind of getting over this allergy and this cold, so I apologize if I'm stumbling over and coughing a little. So let's dig in. We're going to start reading the genealogy of Jesus. And remember, as we read through, raise your hands. If something sounds familiar, a name sounds familiar, you know, and it pops up, raise your hand. So we'll start the gospel according to Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Hey, you guys remember? I see, yeah? All right. Then we got Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Those sound familiar? They will as we study. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. So you guys, we understand. We do. Right on. You guys, perfect, good. So you guys have been reading the Bible. A lot of these pictures of these people that you see right now, we painted them, right, as kids. As kids, I would color in, right? I remember my kids are really good at coloring. And they would always bring, after Sunday school, they would bring stuff that they colored. King David, right? Maybe Ruth or Rehoboam. You guys, that was training you up as youth, and you didn't even know. And now you remember, I remember coloring that in. I remember those Bible verses and coloring those people in. So that's going to start correlating, and it's going to start coming to life for you here. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been, the wife of Uriah. All right. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa, or in some it says Asaph, right? Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Oh, I see lots of hands going up. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zodak. Zodak begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. So what they did was he's really painting a picture, because if you guys knew some of the names, but could you imagine if you knew the Bible verse by verse and chapter by chapter and you studied a lot of the prophets, do you think you would have known all these names and would have been able to really paint that picture? And that's what he's trying to paint. He's trying to say, you guys know the word, right? He's speaking to the Jewish audience. And so he's bringing this lineage out and saying that the Messiah was going to come through this, and he is. And this is who he's related to, just like the Old Testament said he would. So all the generations in chapter 17 says, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. So we'll go a little bit more in detail of why 14 generations and why some of these numbers are important. But what he's doing is he's really saying this is a genealogy. Excuse me. And he really wanted people to understand that Jesus was the Christ, right? Because there was a lot of Jewish people that didn't believe that. There was a lot of people, right? We just had Easter Sunday, right? A couple weeks ago. And what happened with Jesus? He was crucified, right? And who crucified him? A lot of these people that he was speaking to, because they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe that he was, so they crucified him. But he's trying to bring that out, and he's speaking to him and saying he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. So he really was a child like any other child, all right? He was a son like any other son, and that he really is a king like any other king. And that's really what he's pointing out. And it's to validate who Jesus really was, the accountability to claim of why Jesus is the true Messiah. So in Matthew 19, or actually we'll start in, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. They call that the miraculous conception, right? How could somebody be pregnant? It's just a woman by herself, but she was touched by the Holy Spirit, right? We all know that. We know that Jesus was a gift by the Holy Spirit. She was pregnant. And so we're going to get into seeing Joseph and how he's saying, wait a minute. We haven't been together, we're married, we are betrothed, and now you have a child. Now, could you imagine, as a man, being with your wife, you've never been with, and now she has a baby? What would you think? She cheated on him, right? And exactly, I mean, that's exactly what we would, even though a lot of these Jews knew that this was going to happen. A lot of the Jews knew, the Jewish people knew, that this has been the prophecy for years and years and thousands of years and hundreds of years. Here it is, and now it's here in front of Joseph, and he's going, wait a minute, this can't be, right? So Joseph's going through this, and then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So he was a just man. He was a caring man, right? It says he was just. He was nice. Why was he going to put her away silent? Does anybody know? Exactly. And that day, if you had a child out of sight of marriage, you could be stoned to death. And so he's saying here, he's going to secretly divorce her, and he's going to put her away out of respect for her because he was a just man. They're saying he was a nice, generous person. How many of you have had something wrong done to you, and you would be that forgiving? Right? Something wrong, somebody does us wrong, and we get all upset at that person. We don't care if anything happens to that person or not. We get mad because they either insulted us or they hurt our feelings or they said something to us that we took offensive, and now we're angry with that person. We don't care what happens to him, right? But he's saying this is something where she could be stoned to death. She could die, and he's saying, you know what? I don't want that to happen to her, right? That's a just man. That's somebody that's very, forgiveful. You know, in California, where we came from, I mean, people, you pull out in front of somebody, and your car breaks down, and the next thing you know, they don't even want to stop to help you. They're flipping you off and mad and yelling and screaming at you because you slowed traffic down. Right? You guys have all seen it, right? You get, as young kids, you're kind of timid, like, man, I got to pull out in traffic, but people are flipping you off. They're mad at you. Erica pulled out a couple weeks ago, and some guy was yelling and screaming and flipping her off. Why? She doesn't even know. But, you know, people get all upset for these silly, silly reasons, and here, his wife is pregnant, and he doesn't understand why, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to just divorce her silently. So we'll see here, he's a just man, and he put her away. But in verse 20, but after Joseph pondered this, so while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've never had any angels ever come to visit me, but I think that that would be pretty powerful, right? Here you are thinking, man, my wife cheated on me. I can't believe that. And then all of a sudden you're sleeping, an angel comes to you and says, she didn't cheat on you. What is in her is of the Holy Spirit. How amazing would that be, right? And you figure, as a Jewish person that would know the law, that knew the Bible, now you're thinking, oh my goodness, a Messiah. All this stuff is coming about. You know the laws, you know the rules, you know all the old scriptures. And now how exciting would that be? Because you were forgiving and now you're like, oh wow, this really could be the Messiah. So he's pondering these things and the Lord appears to him in a dream. And it says right here, Joseph, son of David, right? Son of David. Why do you think that's so important? He keeps reiterating. He keeps reiterating to the Jewish readers, hey, Joseph, son of David. Because they knew that in order for it to be the Messiah, he had to come from the lineage of David, right, through Abraham. It's been in Old Scripture, Old Testament. When we get into Luke, we're going to see another genealogy done in Luke, but it's going to go through Mary, right, through Joseph's mother. It's going to go through Mary, and it's going to go further beyond Abraham. It's going to go all the way back to Adam. So we'll get there, too, and we're going to have two different, and a lot of times people say, oh, this is why the Bible is contradictory. This is why, see, he gives this account of the genealogy, and Matthew gives this account of the genealogy, and this is why there's no correlation between the two, and this is why the Bible's inerrant, right? It has all these inaccuracies, but we know it's inerrant. We know that there's no errors in it. And he gives a different account. And we'll get through that when we get to Luke. And that'll really start painting a picture of who Mary was, her lineage, and how she's all connected through the line of David as well. All right? So, for those of you who are taking notes, we're going to go through, we're going to reference some Old Testament scriptures here. So, I know you guys, a lot of you guys have got notepads. We provided them. You guys should be bringing them every Sunday, right? This is going to be not your homework, but by taking notes, as I was your age, when I was a young adult, I took a lot of notes. I actually, from camp, so you're 15, how old are you now? 16. So 14, 15, how old are you? 16. So at that age, I took a lot of notes, and I still, believe it or not, have those notes. I have a file, and those notes are in there. And as people were teaching and as I was growing and I had questions about the Bible, I was going through them and going, oh man, it took me back to that same time. I remember the kids I was with. I remember the smell of certain things. I remember the trees. I remember where the camp was up in the hills outside of Tucson at the Lyman Lake up there. And it brought me back to these places. I was like, man, that was so cool. I was so glad that I took notes and wrote those things down. But what's important about taking notes and writing this down is as you guys continue to grow and as you study and as you have questions, you can go back and say, oh, I remember reading that. I remember going through that. So it's really important. So what we're going to do, we'll finish off here and in chapter 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, there he is, there, what we talked about, right? That this may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So here we have our first old scripture text right here. And does anyone know what that comes from? Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son. Do you remember anyone know what that was from? That was from Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah 7 for those of you. It'll be popped up on the screen. Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So he's referencing these Old Testament scriptures because who he was talking to, right? He knew this is coming about. This was said by the prophet Isaiah, and this is how we can know that he is Christ, that he is the Messiah. Behold, a virgin shall come with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So here he is now, they're saying he's obeying God, right? He wanted to divorce her. He was going to silently put her away, and now all of a sudden his wife is now going to have a baby, and he's going to be named Jesus. So if you knew all these Old Testament scriptures, and you knew the law because you were Jewish, and you really understood things, how excited do you think you would be? Would you be pretty excited? I don't know if I'd be excited. I'd be nervous. I'd be really nervous and sick to my stomach probably. So the Messiah coming wasn't really a secret to anybody. Everybody knew that he was going to come, but a lot of people didn't believe when he finally got here. But repeated revelations of God and to his people. So we're going to give you some of those scriptures as for those of you that are taking notes. Here's some definite clues about his coming that God gave in the Old Testament. The Messiah would be the seed or the offspring of a woman who would crush the head of Satan. That's Genesis 3:15. You guys remember reading that? That he would crush the head of Satan? Genesis 12:13, he would come from the seed or offspring of Abraham and would bless all the nations on the earth. You guys remember that in Genesis? What about in Deuteronomy 18:15? He would be a prophet like Moses, to whom God said we must listen. Not to whom God said you should listen. You must listen, right? He would be born in Bethlehem of Judah, which is Micah 5:2. He would be born of a virgin, which we just read in Isaiah 7:14. He would have a throne, a kingdom, and a dynasty or house, starting with King David, that would last forever, 2 Samuel 7, 12-16. Right? So the Jews knew that Jesus was going to come. It wasn't a secret. God didn't leave it a secret out to anyone. He, through thousands of years, through his people, let them know that Jesus would be coming, the Messiah would come. And Pastor Tony, he's been going through the book of John, and I encourage you really to go through. This was really awesome as I was preparing the study, that the Bethlehem, do you guys know what Bethlehem means in Hebrew? Anyone? It means the house of bread. This was really cool as I was studying this, doing this study for you. The obscure village of Bethlehem in the southland of Judah, which we just read in Micah, right? I just referenced for you, was a remote corner in the world. The town's name literally means house of bread. It was in this house of bread that Jesus, right, the bread of life. It's crazy. He was the bread of life. He came to Bethlehem, which was the house of bread. And Pastor Tony went over a couple weeks ago in John. And I encourage you, if you guys have an opportunity, if you guys really want to learn, dig in during the week, man. Shut your phones off, shut your cell phones, shut your computer off, and say, man, I'm going to listen to what Tony had to say and what the Lord used him for and spoke through him. But in John 6:32-35, if you guys could turn there, because I know you have Bibles. John 6:32-35. Got it up there? All right, starting in verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then he said to them, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That was amazing. You've heard that he's the bread of life. And I'm reading this going, man, Bethlehem in Hebrew, I was like, how is that possible? How does he do these things and puts all these little things out there for us to learn? And we just read over them, right? But if we're studying and we're really going back, we're going to really start pulling these things out. And I'm just amazed. That really something that stuck to me, that the house of bread where Jesus was born in this little tiny town, and Jesus, was born the bread of life. So as we go through and we start plugging in the Word of God, we see that the Old Testament is so important. It is so important for us to really read. As we read the New Testament, I don't know if you guys, if your Bible has any references, but as you read through, you're going to see these little side notes, and it's going to have like a number 2 or a number 7 or whatever. If you look at those, in the bottom of your Bible, it's going to say, hey, here's the cross-reference, and it'll point you over towards the Old Testament. I would encourage you to read. As you're reading, stop through and look at that, and you know, pull up those Old Testament scriptures so you can really dig in and read. And St. Augustine expressed a remarkable way in which the two testaments of the Bible, right? He said they're so closely interrelated to each other that the new is the old concealed and the old is the new revealed. All right? So as we're sitting here studying the Word, I would encourage you guys, bring your friends. We're going to start, you know, they're going to start having a lot of fun here. We're going to start doing a lot of activities. We talked with one of the other youth leaders at one of the other churches. They want to start really getting involved in the community. They want to start really getting involved with their youth. We're going to start doing some dizzy bat challenges. We're going to start doing some really fun sport challenges and stuff. So I'd encourage you guys to really plug in, read through here, read through the Word every day, and start bringing some friends to church. All right? Does anyone have any questions? No questions? All right. You got a question back there? All right, let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we are just so grateful for your Word. We're so grateful, Lord, for your just your knowledge. And we're so grateful that we are able to freely come and study the Word of God. As I look and I see other countries where they can't even have a Bible, I'm just so blessed and so reminded that how great we have it. And I just pray, Lord, that we do not take advantage, that we really just find a way to just love you, Lord, and find a way to really just dig into this Word every day. This world is lost, and we need to be the light. And I just pray for each one of the youth here today, Lord. I pray for them. I pray that you will just bless them. I pray that you will protect them as they go out into this world, as they go out into the battlefield every single day, Lord. And I pray that they will tune in on Wednesdays, that we will just be plugged into your Word weekly and daily and constantly, Lord. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the opportunity to come and study your Word. I praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.